First impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop. Over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com. 502-969-8585.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springsteen of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great...
So, I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, "I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!"
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome once again to the Ed Springsteen Show, brought to you by the MVM Radio Network, home of LouisvillePolitics.com and EdSpringsteen.com, where you can go for the latest copy of this show, or you can just check out any of the news that we're doing and the investigation we've got going on. While you're at LouisvillePolitics.com, join our RSS feed and our email newsletter, and this show and all of our information that every time we update will be sent straight to your inbox. Make it easy on you. I tell you, there's always a lot going on, but as always, let's point out these phone numbers real quick. The number calling to the show are 858-683-1326, as always, and 502-805-0334. For you guys that are listening to you, hit that number 1 on your dial pad, and we'd love to get you on there as soon as possible. And for everybody else, join the chat room. You can sign in our chat room, your Facebook, your Twitter. I think you can even sign in right now using our iTunes. So any way you want, we are available. With that being said, hello, Mr. Martin. How are you, sir?
Hey, Mr. Springsteen. worn out.
It's been a very hot day today. Upper 80s here in Louisville, and I tell you, we're just not used to that. It's been like that for a couple of days. We've gotten so used to 80 one day and, you know, below zero the next, but for the last couple of months, seemingly, that, you know, the last couple of days have been pretty warm. So it's kind of taken a toll on a lot of people. I heard a lot of people today talking about being hot, and I'm like, you know, a month ago you were griping because it was 35, 40 degrees. I don't want to hear it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So.
Well, that's what everybody was saying when we were in the winter that would never end. It's like the first person
right.
that complains about it being hot, I'm going to punch in the mouth.
Yeah. So remind me when I see you, I'll you punch in the mouth.
But I wasn't really. One of those people who was complaining about the cold too much. It was like, yeah, it's going to get hot. I know it is because I fairly well, you know, work outside in an open warehouse. So, yeah.
Oh, I know. I mean, you're used to that kind of stuff, but it has been interesting. We had severe thunderstorms move here and through here just a little bit ago, so I hope everybody's okay from that. I tell you, there's so much news always going on, and a lot of times we don't spend a lot of time on sports or sports-related things, but there was one story that came out Thursday that really stuck with me, and I tell you, for you guys who are horse racing enthusiasts, I'm very familiar with Churchill Downs. You're very familiar with horse racing in general if you're from around here. And I am a horse racing enthusiast. I love betting the ponies. I love watching these beautiful creatures run. But there's a story that stuck out to me because it made national. And there was a racehorse that died Thursday at Churchill Downs. A 5-year-old mare by the name of Never Tell Linda was actually walking back towards the paddock. It was still on the track. But the starting gate bell was blaring through the track's new sound system. We've been talking about this new sound system and this big board they've got and everything else. Well, apparently it spooked the horse. She twisted, she reared, she twisted, she fell, hit her head, and she had to be put down immediately. But what was fascinating about that is, you know, they've been bragging about this sound system, but here we've got a great example of not really thinking about what's best for the sport itself. You know, all these horses are taught to break from that starting gate bell, so it's instinctive that when you hear that, you just go to run. And here they're doing that on a loudspeaker that, according to personnel around the track, you know, you can hear this thing 2 and 3 blocks away with this horse right there on the track. I thought it was pretty tragic, but I tell you, it's interesting because, you know, we talk so much about Churchill Downs, we talk so much about all the freebies they get, and that's why they can buy this kind of stuff. We talk about all of the things they're trying to take great credit for, like the sound system and the digital board. But what's really fascinating is nobody's focusing on the rest of the story with Churchill Downs. This in itself is what I would consider a tragedy. But I tell you, Churchill Downs is really struggling because of their own arrogance, their own ego. You know, for one thing, they're under criticism now because they're taking a bigger cut out of all the money that's bet on the races. They're taking a bigger cut. So now the races are paying practically nothing, you know, if you hit anything at all. I mean, the purses are down, but it's through their own greed. You know, we've got Hall of Fame jockey Ron Turcotte. Anybody who knows anything about horse racing, Ron Turcotte rode Secretariat in Triple Crown. Great guy. But, you know, he's paralyzed on the waist down due to a horse fall not too long after the Secretariat runs. And, you know, he couldn't even get in last year. You know, they wouldn't let him into the track to watch last year's race. Then they tried to save communications, so he didn't even bother trying to come this year. You know, and we've got all these different things. But Churchill Downs, this is one that really stood out to me. And this is what I want you to comment is after this. But Steve Colburn, who is the co-owner of California Chrome, who's won the Derby and the Preakness and is up for the Triple Crown in the Belmont this weekend. But Steve Colburn last outcome and went completely off on Churchill Downs after the Preakness last week. The Preakness, of course, is held in Pimlico Racecourse right there in Maryland. And he went off and said and told the whole world that Churchill Downs needed to call Pimlico in Maryland to get a lesson in hospitality. Because Churchill Downs treats these guys so badly. That is disturbing. For me, that puts a big, major blotch on Louisville because of Churchill Downs' poor, rude behavior and the way that they approach horse racing. Okay, Ed, go ahead.
Well, like you say, we need details on exactly what he's talking about, whether it was a couple people No, I could see that. Churchill Downs is, you know, CDI Incorporated is a big company. They're, as we know from being in Louisville, they're spoiled rotten as far as taxes and, you know, getting all the policy off their ass. But, yeah, I mean, I didn't know him what he was so upset about. I mean, he wasn't here very long. I mean, you know, usually, let's face it, he was very businesslike about how they showed up. They were like the last horse to show up. He did one work, and that was it. You know, so it's like, gee, you didn't stick around long. You know, a lot of these horses get here sometimes a month ahead of time or so. But I'm not going to, you know, as much as we gripe about Churchill Downs a lot of times, I'm not going to side with this guy right away. I mean, because this is the same guy who basically said if his horse doesn't get to wear the nasal strip in the Belmont, he wasn't going to run him. I mean, this guy was going to basically, for over a nasal strip, was going to thumb his nose at the Triple Crown. So I'm not so sure it's not him, and I'm not so sure he's just not as full of brat.
Well, let's just look at the reality with Steve Colburn. Now, I understand you're concerned about the Preakness race, and he was talking about the nose bandage, you know, the nasal strip. You know, but in that particular situation, you're talking about the health of the horse. They started using that nasal strip 7 races ago because it helped California Chrome breathe. California Chrome loves to run. It's a racehorse. You know, that's what it's bred for. So it helped him breathe. So I would look at that in particular as being concerned about the horse. And I would put my horse or my partner, if you will, ahead of anything else. So that doesn't concern me as much.
I understand that. But, I mean, his first reaction was to come out and just say, you know, I just won't run my horse in the Belmont Stakes. And it's like,
right.
You know, dude, calm down a little bit. You know, it's just, okay. So they haven't addressed it. They didn't say no. And as it turns out, they said yes at Belmont. They didn't say no. And Churchill obviously didn't say no. But, I mean, his first reaction was, you know, yeah, oh, you all wait for a Triple Crown horse. They don't let me put my needle strip on the horse. Screw your Triple Crown. It's like, I would just, you know, like I said, that makes me question this guy that he goes from zero to shove your Triple Crown up your butt if I don't get my way, you know, with plenty of time to get it worked out. Plenty of time.
But
to
you didn't
start
know that all that was taken out of context, right?
You don't let my horse run. You don't let me use a nasal strip. Screw your Crown.
Well, you do know that all that was taken out of context.
He goes from zero to off to just, I'll take my ball and go home.
Well, you know,
I got to wonder about him.
Well, in all honesty, though, that was out of context. I mean, really, truthfully, what had happened was they had a trainer had asked to use a nasal strip a few years ago, the same as he's doing now, and Belmont refused. Of course, now Met Technology is caught. They realize that there's no unfair advantage and everything else. So, I mean, but he had to petition again. So when he said, you know, so when he said that he was going to, you know, petition us to see if they would let him use the nasal strip, then the media took over. The media took over and said, well, you know, they haven't let it be used before, so what are you going to do then? And that's when he came up with that, said, well, I just won't run my horse if they won't let us use a nasal strip. That doesn't make him a spoiled, rotten little take-my-ball-and-go-home guy. Now, however, I mean, he comes across
well,
that way.
I agree with you there. It just makes it sound like he goes from zero to worst-case scenario in no time flat. So, you know.
Well, sure, and that's a media
spin. If he'd have been more reasonable, he'd have come off as a more, you know, just says, hey, you know, let's talk about the nasal strips or that, you know. But his first reaction was, I won't run the horse. So
well, they asked him what he would do. He said,
They kind of make me take a step back and look at it and says, yeah, okay. So he's seeing some things. He's seeing some stuff. He hasn't given us any definitive things, any detail, I don't guess, on why Churchill Downs needs a lesson in hospitality. But he's, you know, from what I've seen of him, he needs a lesson in diplomacy because, you know, that's not your first move when you got a Triple Crown horse. You know, the industry's being good to you. You've been around a long time. You get to make money doing what you love. And your first reaction when all the country is cheering for your horse is I'm just going to blow up the Triple Crown on you if I don't get my way. And, you know, I say,
well,
the other thing is, I kind of wonder. it's how many hundreds, if not thousands, of horses run it. And granted, it is unusual, defending Churchill Downs here. How many hundreds, if not thousands, of horses run every meet at Churchill Downs? And usually you'll hear guys like Baffert and Lucas, you know, some of the legends of the sport, love Churchill Downs. They love the track. You know, a lot of them will stable their horses at Churchill Downs until the last minute to go to another track. They love it there. So, I mean, I'm wondering why this one guy who seems to have a hair trigger mouth on him, and, you know, like, okay, I'll give you that. Churchill, I'm sure like any other business, can be inhospitable, can be bullheaded, whatever. All right, fine. You're saying these things like they need a lesson in hospitality. All right, what did they do? Why are you saying that?
Well, I can tell you this. I can tell you this. I've spent quite a bit of time over Churchill Downs with some friends, and I won't name them. They happen to work there in some prominent places. And I've spent quite a bit of time at Churchill Downs with these guys. You know, and you talk to the trainers, and you talk to the jockeys, and you talk to different people that you meet, you know, when you're walking through and things like that. And there's no doubt, I would say 99.5% of everybody that you talk to loves the track. They love the track. That dirt track is fantastic. You know, but when it comes to the people who are running the organization, when it comes to the way that the trainers are treated, when it comes to the way the jockeys are treated, I would tell you that more than half the time, in my opinion, just based on my personal conversations, more than half the people there agree with Colburn. Colburn might just be the guy who's got a mouth that can maybe make a difference. But, you know, I understand he's got a hair trigger mouth, but, you know, he just got the balls to stand up, if you will. You know, everybody else won't do it because a lot of these guys depend on racing at Churchill for their living because it's their primary track. It's the only thing they do. When you get into guys like or the Kentucky Derby and things like that, you know, these horses travel everywhere. But there's a lot of everyday trainers over there that spend the majority of their time at Churchill Downs. And, you know, that's where they stable their horses and everything else.
Well, if he's going to pop off like that, then – don't stop there. Tell us.
Oh, I don't disagree with you. I would love for him to put a list out and tell us exactly what happened. I don't disagree. I'm not disagreeing with that. I'm just saying it was interesting because.
So until he's talking about hospitality. I mean, it'd be interesting to see. He compared us to Pimlico. Okay, whatever.
right.
Again, as a guy from a California track, maybe she comes out here with a, you know, California attitude. I don't know. I don't know what his deal is, but, you know, if he's got a gripe, then let's on top of everything else, let's be grown up about it and, okay, enumerate what your gripe is. You know, who pissed you off, what pissed you off, but rather than just say, they need to take a lesson in hospitality. It's like, well, what? You know, did you not get your ass kissed sufficiently, or were they rude to you? I don't know. I'm not gonna take a side either way in that. It's just like, okay, you know, believe me, it's not beyond the realm of possibility that the Churchill Downs, you know, they think their horse poop doesn't stink, but it's also not beyond the realm of possibility that every owner, every trainer thinks their horse is the greatest thing going, and that maybe they feel their asses have not been kissed sufficiently well. I don't know.
Well, we'll find out, but I'm actually contacting him, and I'm wanting to see what kind of stuff he had a problem with. You know, and obviously, beyond the realm of possibility here is we've got Paul Holliger with Stop It. We've done something to twist him up in a bunch. Man, how are you, sir?
You are talking about Churchill Downs and the attitude of the people who run Churchill Downs. I would suggest that the attitude of the people who run Churchill Downs has contributed mightily toward this guy's reaction. And I'll tell you why I say that. As you all well know, I have been dogging the Churchill Downs issue for a long time. They pay no real estate taxes on over 126 acres, which includes all the barns and all the track, okay, grandstand and all that. They pay no real estate taxes. Therefore, they're not paying any taxes to support local government, local schools. And how did they get that? Well, they got a special deal with Dave Armstrong many years ago, where Dave Armstrong had put the title of Churchill Downs, the racetrack, into the city of Louisville, which makes it tax exempt. So I would suggest that this attitude of entitlement and this attitude of I want you to dance to my tune permeates the entire Churchill Downs organization, because obviously their hospitality gene has been diminished since they started getting all these special perks from city and state government. And furthermore, then we hear from time to time about the need to keep Churchill Downs from suffering financial losses. Well, you know, I find that to be a bogus argument. There is no special reason why the good citizens of Jefferson County and the good citizens of the Commonwealth of Kentucky should underwrite Churchill Downs. Churchill Downs turned, I believe I saw, a $750 million gross profit for the fiscal year 2 years ago. $750 million. Now, gentlemen, that's a lot of money. And they're not paying any real estate taxes.
Well, no, and how much does it cost us to provide? Just look at the safety aspect of it alone, with our police and everything else, especially during the meet, primarily during the Derby. How much do we have to pay all this stuff for all this extra security and all the crime that we have to ignore in this daggone town because of police or all the Churchill Downs? What does that cost we, the taxpayers, free of charge?
Well, I don't know about free, Ed, because a lot of times when special events need extra city police people, they make arrangements to pay for them. However, forget the special event. How about the day-to-day stuff? How about the day-to-day EMS runs that are run out there? How about the day-to-day police runs that are out there? How about the day-to-day fire? How about the day-to-day public works that takes care of all
that's what I'm saying. During the meet, how much does it cost us? Okay, and they do pay, if I'm not mistaken, and I have to double-check this, folks, don't take my word for this, but they do pay a lump sum for security during the Derby and the Oaks, okay, if I'm not mistaken. At least they did a few years ago. I don't know if they still do or not. But when we look at that, though, all right, does that sum actually cover the full cost? I don't know yet. We're working on that.
Well,
but you're right about the day-to-day stuff.
Yeah, that's a detail that for the purposes of tonight is kind of irrelevant, but I think that the Churchill Downs' attitude as it pertains to this guy and the way he was treating him, I mean, the guy goes to Baltimore and he says he gets treated really well there. And then we have a former Derby-winning jockey that gets treated poorly here at the same time. Gentlemen, I would suggest that maybe we got more work here than just Churchill Downs' attitude. I think maybe we have a ruling elite attitude here in the city of Louisville. And I will go to one other institution.
Again, understand, as I said, I'm not arguing for Churchill Downs. I'm just saying, okay, so he's made an allegation. You know, that's like looking at a politician saying, you're corrupt. You know, you should take an ethics course. Okay. That doesn't get
right.
It done.
I mean, you're anybody can make an allegation.
Tell us what. I'm just saying, I mean, the guy may be completely legit, or he may just be a whiny-ass titty baby. It's like, but until he, you know, he's very publicly said they could stand a lesson in hospitality. Okay, well, now that you put it out there, what are you talking about? You know, what happened to you?
Oh, I totally
please
agree
tell
with
you there. Because, you know, by all means, tell us, because that may go a long ways towards, you know, maybe you say it, somebody else will go, yeah, you know, I was crapped on the same way, and we can get to work at fixing it. But just to stand back and say, hey, a lesson in hospitality, okay, maybe.
Oh, sure. There's no doubt. Well, there's no doubt about that. I mean, anybody can make an allegation, Ed. I'm 100% agreement with you on that. Back it up with facts. And I agree with that completely. The only thing I'm getting at, though, I mean, Paul brought up a lot of concerns. But the biggest thing I'm getting at is, though, this is not just him. And I'm not trying to defend him or Churchill Downs. I mean, this is something I've spent a lot of time out of Churchill Downs. I love the ponies, like I said. You know, and it's just that this seems to be a common behavior. Maybe it took this guy standing up and making that statement. Maybe he's willing to put his balls out there a little bit further and give us a list of reasons why he feels that way so that we can address that. And I'm with Paul, the political elite here. Don't underestimate these guys.
I think he knows just that. I mean, if he's going to sit there and say that, you know, as a Louisville, you know, we can have our misgivings about Churchill Downs management and the way the city and the track get along and, you know, at the expense of others. We can have our thoughts about that, but I'm a Louisvillian. You're a Louisvillian. It's like, okay, you know, by default or by association, you're kind of saying, you know, hey, we're pretty good at hospitality, we thought. So if something's wrong, by all means, let us know. We, you know, the city, the average civilian does not, is very hospitable. So it's like, okay, you know, if you're going to say something about our marquee sports venue, then let us know who. As a city, we'll deal with that.
We'll also understand that Churchill Downs is not no longer owned by a Louisville-based group either. They're owned by a group out of Chicago. So that's a little bit different mindset in the management structure as well. But I do want to move on, folks, because we've got other stories out there. And I apologize. I don't know if anybody else is getting an echo. I know I am. So I had to figure that one out. But just to move on a little bit, you know, we've also got other things out there. Last week we talked about Adam Edelin had put out the JCPS, Jefferson County Public Schools, audit that was requested by Superintendent Donna Hargens and the JCPS board. Of course, they just threw them on just because they wanted to. But it was really interesting when we break down the things that are going on. For example, there were five school districts that were involved in this audit for comparison's sake. Every one of these had similar budgets. You know, basically they were just really similar in every way, whether it was budgets, student assignment, I mean, whatever it was, they were similar to us. These five districts were. Well, this 260-page report had a whole lot of findings that really should be disturbing. For example, our school district pays 369 administrators more than $100,000 a year. To compare that to the comparison cities, the next one closest to us at that pay scale, there were 53 administrators. So we have more than 300. We have 300 plus more administrators making $100,000 than anybody that we compare to. You know, and to talk about JCPS, they've got $1.2 billion annual budget. Now, the thing I would disagree with Adam Edelin on is he thinks the 7-member board is too small. I disagree with that. He said he wants to add 2 at-large members that were less likely to fall victim to all of this, you know, my district crap like your Caroline Haddads and all of that junk. I disagree that we need more. I think that the school board really, truly, I think it should be disbanded. That's my opinion. I think that the school should be run by a school superintendent and by the mayor himself, period. Those two people should be responsible for everything that happens in the school district. Get rid of this school board. Get it under control. I do like the fact that Donna Hargens is out there trying to get an audit. I truly believe that Donna Hargens is going to try to you know, take some real good lessons from this audit and make some changes. But the biggest problem we've always had with our JCPS is the school board and the Democratic elected mayor officials. I mean, this is the way it is because they work in collusion. You know, they act like they want to do something, and then when you have a chance to change something for the better, they balk. You've got 369 administrators. How many of those are there because of political ties? How many within the JCPS network are because they are faithful to the party or faithful to the politician? And Caroline Haddad, you know, it was really disturbing because Caroline Haddad is somebody I have zero respect for. Should not be on a school board. Shouldn't be on a board anywhere. Maybe on a piece of cardboard sliding down the Ohio or something. But, you know, she called the findings nothing more than a political thing by Adam Edelin. And she went on to say that he's based this audit because he's running for governor. And I think that's terrible. This is exactly a great example of why this school board needs to be disbanded. Would you agree?
I would, you know, I could agree with Edelin on the size of the school board. You know, one way, give or take, is same size or I think if the first thing they need to do is any interested parties, such as the Jefferson County Teachers Association, should not be allowed to endorse or fund any candidates, and they should, you know, they should just not, because that's, boy, you talk about kissing cousins. I mean, the school board, one of the, you know, the marquee endorsements for a school board race is the teacher's endorsement. And, guys, you know, it's the people you're supposed to hold accountable, the people you, as school board member, that you hold some sway over. Well, you know, they hold sway over you. So I think that's just a recipe for corruption. So I think the first things first, anybody that's not a disinterested third party, you know, if you've got a bus contract, you got a fuel contract, you represent any unions or anything that have to do with the day-to-day operations of Jefferson County Schools, I don't think you should have any input, because that, to me, is a recipe for corruption, especially the Jefferson County Teachers Association. I mean, they like to think they can pick the board members with their endorsements and their teachers standing out there waving signs and their money. I mean,
but what does this
– you know,
here's
of course
the thing,
we've got status quo. You've got Brent McKim trying to call the shots on the school board, so you're lacking some autonomy. But beyond that, yeah – you know, it's almost worthy of some jokes. It's like, well, when you have the biggest, the largest bus fleet in America, I guess you need lots of administrators.
let's look at this realistically.
Wow, yeah, you've got a lot of moving parts. But an interesting thing I saw where Phil Moffitt posted something today that he posted Governor Beshear's salary and noted that that would have him as the 36th highest paid school administrator in the Jefferson County school system, the governor.
Well, of course. And let's look at this realistically, too, because I want to get Paul in here in a second on this. But, you know, when we look at this adding two at-large members to the school board, for one thing, somebody define at-large members. Because we know the school board is elected by school district. Okay, so you've got seven members, seven school districts, all right? So District 1 is going to elect theirs, District 2, et cetera. So you get two at-large members. Well, as you just pointed out to JCTA, so Carol Ann Haddad has a couple of buddies, then she just increased her power. You know, so why not just go ahead? If we're going to force the school board down our throat, we don't need to add to it. Maybe we need to take those seven districts and make every one of those an at-large vote for the school district. Maybe every member should be an at-large.
I would either say that or break the districts up even more to put more members on the board. But to me, the biggest thing is they can do is just to remove interested third parties. It's like, look, if you have a stake in it, that's the one that bothers me. Is like, boy, you talk about a vote for the status quo. Just, you know, the teachers whom the school board is supposed to supervise are basically, they've got them by the balls.
But the JCPS board also admitted that they have no clue what's in the budget, basically. They said they don't know where everything is spent at. You know, they just approve it. So, like, you know, so you're overseeing this $1.2 billion of my tax money being forced out of my pocket, and you're overseeing this, and you don't have a clue how it's being spent. Because most of you people probably don't even go to school or have an education or ever spent time in business. You know, they don't know the first thing about a spreadsheet or how to do the balances. So, you know, that's a big concern to me. There has to be some sort of qualification other than I live in this school district. If you're going to be responsible for $1.2 billion of tax money, should we have some sort of minimum guidelines as far as experience and or education is concerned?
Well, I would think so, and like I say, that's where I see it's so vitally important is getting interested parties out of the funding and the lobbying and the endorsing business, because at that point, I hate to say it, but the only people who could run an effective campaign would be probably successful people. But you know,
well, maybe so.
You're speaking of right now. Right now, it's almost, and not, you know, I'm sure some, it applies to some members, but right now, it behooves the organizations like JCTA and stuff, it behooves them to put the dumbest person they can in there so that they can say, you know, how do you want me to vote?
so they can take advantage of it, exactly.
We put you in there. We're going to tell you how to vote, you know, and that whether that's a contractor or whether that, you know, a bunch
whether
of
that's Larry's move, Joe, or Carolyn Haddad.
The governor.
Yeah, we know. we know, and I totally get that. Paul, you're still with us, right?
Oh, yeah.
All right, give me your take on that real quick, because, you know, I mean, that is the thing to me. For me, my personal experience is that if you have if your corporate board expands, you keep getting more and more board members in private business, all you basically do is muddy up the works. And I think we found a good example of that when our clown governor, Steve Beshear, decided to put Lieutenant Governor, former Mayor for Life Jerry Abramson, in charge of a tax reform here a couple of years ago. He had like a zillion people on this committee, and they couldn't come up with squat to fix anything or change anything. So, you know, that's what I'm kind of getting at. I don't like adding members to this board. I would rather expand it. But if we have to have the board, what do you think about making sure every member is at large?
I have mixed view of that. Number one, right now, as I recall, these seven board members are not paid anything other than like a meeting stipend. Pretty puny amount of money.
But it's not the money, it's the power.
Let me finish. Okay. So we've got a bunch of people who have to get their jollies, if you will, through the power part of it, all right? What would happen if the seven board members became paid positions that comes out of the Jefferson County Public School budget?
Well, that would be interesting. But wouldn't that mean that the mayor and the superintendent would implant their own people and make us another farce just like we have every other organization in the city?
I'm not talking about the selection part of it. I'm talking about only the paid part.
Okay.
I have for a while contended that the part of the reason the Jefferson County Teachers Association has an undue amount of influence over these elections is because these people aren't being paid anything. Okay? They're not being paid anything. So I think having them as more accountable administrators and more professional administrators could help, so long as they were watched by Frankfurt on a recurring basis, all right? So
right.
Let's go to this question about expanding the number of people on the school board. I'm totally opposed to that. We've seen here locally that the expansion of the Metro Council, the city government used to operate with, I think, 13 alder people, and Jefferson County operated with three commissioners. We've seen that adding more people doesn't get better results. All it gets is higher expenses.
Right.
And so I don't think the solution lies in adding more bodies. I think we need to improve the quality and accountability, and this JCPS audit is a step in the right direction. By the way, guys, did you all hear any comments from any of the news media about the busing expenses? Did you hear any comments about that?
In which way? Go ahead.
No, anything. Did Adam Beadle and the auditor say that the transportation of all these students every day, these hundreds of thousands of miles.
All that is part of the report. As far as recommendations on the findings, I didn't keep on that. Again, it's a 260-page report, so I was looking for specific things. But, yeah, all that is part of it. That's all part of the audit.
Well,
there
was nothing specific mentioned about that, which is kind of interesting because that is one of the biggest expense areas in the Jefferson County Public Schools. And anytime you have big expenses, you've got to have waste and in some cases fraud.
Well, there's no doubt about that.
I didn't see any recommendations about that.
Well, actually, truth be told, I don't have the exact numbers in front of me, but I actually did a study here just a couple of years ago because if you remember, the Jefferson County school buses were privatized. And for the most part, and we actually saved about 40% of what it costs us now by using these private bus companies. We didn't have wrecks every day. We didn't have the safety problems we're having now. We didn't have kids getting lost because these guys that were driving the buses were own operators. They had to do their job to get paid. So, we didn't have all the problems we have now. We did it for about 37% is what it was. But, and we did it for that much cheaper. But the Jefferson County school system wanted to take over the buses, which, of course, gave them more money, which is what they wanted to do. And that's why we have all the problems we have now. So instead of spending less money with privatization and not having to worry about their pensions, their medical benefits, their matching funds and all these things, they put everybody on the payroll and they pay them $9 or $10 an hour, whatever it is today. I haven't checked again in a couple of years. And they pay these guys that much money for part-time work, and now they've got all this matching stuff, which is what greatly increased the cost of it. It's just like a great example is GL right now. The city of Louisville was paying GLI $950,000 a year to represent Louisville as some sort of a metro chamber of commerce. Well, they haven't done their job. So what does Greg Fisher do? He says, okay, we're going to take that responsibility back to the city. Oh, by the way, we want to hire the people in the GLI who weren't doing their job to run it for the city. Well, the problem is that $950,000 just went dramatically up because now we've got all the taxes and all the other crap that we weren't responsible for. So now that $950,000 is probably going to cost us somewhere around $5 million out of the city budget, which brings me to another story I was going to get into in a minute. I guess I'll wait for that one for a second. But, you know, that's what we look at with all of this stuff. And this is why I think it's important to get rid of the school board. I don't think this school board is capable of doing anything. I really don't. They have no money in the game. They have no skin in the game. It's all about power and ego and prestige. That's all they do it for. They're bought and paid for by the union, the JCTA. We have no real-time use for this school board at all. But if we're going to insist on it, I like the at-large across the board. Ed, you've heard Paul and you've heard me. Go ahead.
Well, like I say, I just think there's too many, just like with the administrators, there's too many hands in the till. There's, like you said, and Paul said, they're unpaid positions. So what do you do in that? Yeah, I would also be interested in seeing of these $200,000 plus administrators, be curious as to how many of them might be family members. You know, it's like, so
I could promise
that
number
will be high. I think they should be paid positions. They could be elected positions, but paid positions. When, like I say, I think the elections should have any interested second party should not be allowed to participate. Yeah, because I mean, that's, you know, it's just too much corruption, too much power there, and there's not enough independence when you do that. But I think paid positions with a almost like a merit pay too. If you get a scathing audit like this and you're in a paid position that actually pays you a living, you know, it's at risk. Like Paul says, you know, a lot of these school administrators, a lot of these school board members, probably aside from the power, they don't give a rat's ass one way or the other. They've probably planted enough of their family members in plum positions, maybe some of them making more than the governor, and they don't care because this job doesn't. This job, as I like to say in my job, if I'm going to be one, says, well, you know, if it doesn't pay my bills, I'm really not going to get that worked up about it. And probably look at that. They're probably like, well, what the hell? Why do we worry about performance? Why do I worry about anything like that? This is not paying my bills. But you know, hey, plugging my nephew in over here, that is paying some bills.
Well, I got you there, and I just put a link in the chat room as well. It's to Courier Journal. It's got a history. They actually posted the, and you give them credit for something, they actually posted the Jefferson County Public Schools bureaucracy right after this audit came out last week. So they've got a list of 741 pages. There's about 18,000 people in here with a list of how much they make. And it's really interesting because Donna Hargis is at $276,000. But you know, if you look at some of these principals, for example, you look at David Johnson, you know, PRP principal. We know what's going on with him, but he's at $145,000, and he's in the top 15. You know, that kind of stuff really concerns me. Why are these principals getting this kind of money when they're not doing their job? And I think that's where a lot of the money is coming from. You've got, you know, an auditor, William Ruth, auditor, $140,000. Here's a guy who's doing auditing. And he couldn't do his job effectively, so
yeah.
So Adam Eagle had to come
like,
in with four tax money.
Yeah, it's like, boy,
right.
That isn't a contradiction right there. Yeah, you got a
you
guy
gotcha.
Who's supposed to be auditing the schools, doesn't have a grasp of what the hell he's supposed to be auditing, but he's getting paid well for it.
Sure, you betcha. You look at Bradley Weston. Is that a guy that's related to Ron Weston? We'll know soon enough, but I'll be checking this out later. You know, but you got all of these different people in here, and you're looking at auditors, and you're looking at athletics directors. Are you kidding me? An athletic director, $138,000 a year. You know, you've got all of these different things. Director of Transportation Service, Richard Capel, almost $140,000 a year. And look at the Transportation Service. It's completely screwed. This is the kind of stuff we're getting at. So it's clearly obvious that we need to get rid of most of these people, in my opinion, if not all. I don't see any reason that a principal should make $140,000 a year. I don't care how long they've been with JCPS. There is no reason for that. because these principals, they have everybody else doing it. You got the counselors, you got the staff that does all the work. I'll be honest with you, most of the principals I've known over the last 35 years, since I've, or 32 years, whatever it's been since I got out of school, are basically nothing more than middle level guys that are you know, signing paperwork or going to meetings. They're not really accomplishing anything. You know, their staff does all that. So, I mean, there's definitely some bloat there. There's a link in the chat room. And actually, Paul, I'm going to send you that individually because I think Stop Invisible Taxes may like that, and I'll send that to you after the show. But, you know, it is interesting. Now, what does all this bring us to? Well, I tell you, we've got some other stories going on right now when it concerns money, and we're going to take a quick break. We skipped the bottom of the hour break. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back. But I think you guys are going to like this next because there's more examples of what is exactly wrong with the leadership in this city. You're listening to the Ed Springsteen Show right here on the MVM Radio Network. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
First impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop, over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com, 502-969-8585.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springson of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
Show, the Ed Springsteen Show right here on the MVM Radio Network. We appreciate you being here. You know, Ed, we're going into break, and you know, we've been talking this whole first part of the hour, the whole first part of the show. We kind of focused a little bit on bad image, if you will, through Churchill Downs, but the last little bit we've been focusing on JCPS audit, how much money it's costing us, what can be done differently. We are definitely over bloated in our $1.2 billion budget that they don't take control of. And here we've got our illustrious Louisville Metro Council, Democratic-controlled, if you will, Louisville Metro Council. I believe last number is 17 Democrats, 9 Republicans, so almost 2-1 margin, praising Louisville Democratic Mayor Greg Fisher's budget proposal. And here's the disturbing part of this. You know, the proposal is supposed to invest more money in public safety, capital projects, and infrastructure. We all know that's a joke. It's going to go to the Blues or whoever is related to Greg Fisher so that Southern Indiana can benefit from it instead of Louisville. But when we look at this in play, though, the Republican lawmakers have actually pushed for more police officers in previous budgets. But as part of making all this happen, Greg Fisher and the Metro Council Democrats, who have all the power, are going to stand up and put a 3% LGNE franchise fee, is what they call it. They're going to add 3% franchise fee to LGNE, which means every one of us are going to pay that 3%. And supposedly this is going to generate a net worth of about $4.8 million that's going to pay for these new officers and all this other stuff. here's the problem. Here's the problem. I like the way that everybody always likes to say fee, and unfortunately our good friend Paul checked off with Stop Invisible Taxes. I know he'll love this conversation. There's no such thing as a fee when we're being charged extra money because of a government mandate. It's an invisible tax. That's all it is. It's the same thing with the consent decree fee that we pay with MSD. This is supposed to get us $4.8 million that's going to take care of these things that we've been begging and screaming for. This is the problem. This is the problem. You know, Fisher says this is necessary. Then he wants to compare us to Lexington because Lexington pays 4%, LG, with their version of LG&E fee. He says this isn't something he does lightly, but we need this to increase police protection, keep our city growing, blah, 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 blah. You know, yet if they were doing their job now, none of this would matter. But here's the real deal. The GOP caucus is telling us that the city's revenue is up 3.5%. So if the overall city revenue is up 3.5%, that's a hell of a lot more than $4.8 million. So why are we not spending that money towards this endeavor? Why do we have to force an invisible tax on all the residents of Louisville? Go ahead.
Well, it's as we've spoken, countless times, it's boiling a frog, whether it's the rain tax or, and you're right, if it's mandatory, it's not a fee, it's a tax. So, we've got MSD hitting us with a rain tax. Rains, you pay for drainage. They just do it in little increments. It's the Jefferson County public school system. They're allowed to raise their rate, which is, it's a small percent to begin with, but they raise it 6%, over its base every year. So, it's basically they're just boiling a frog. They, I believe it was Rahm Emanuel said, never let a good crisis go to waste. Well, we had some kids go downtown and do some rotten stuff. Had everybody freaking out for a while. So, what the hell? Now's a good time to just slip a little, $20 here, supposedly $20 per household or whatever, here, $20 there. It's just another way to slip a little bit in there and turn the temperature up just a little bit, just like the rain tax, It only shows up, it's $4 or $5 a month on your bill in a rainy month or something. But they're getting you, and that's just what it is. They don't have the guts, A, to call it a tax, and B, they don't have the guts to make the tough decisions to take some of the increased revenue and just allocate it, just nut up and allocate it towards the police, or don't. Let us know what your priorities are. So basically they're saying, well, here's what our priorities are. If, it's low enough on our priority list that, if we had some extra money, we'd spend it on that. So that's what they think of your public protection to begin with. It's like, we won't do it unless we have a little extra money coming in. We won't take away from anything else. So your safety, that's what it matters to us. And they say, on that, it's just boiling a frog. And I do have to snicker at things. I notice they wait until it gets warm before they decide it's a good idea to push through a tax on gas, which is what we heat our houses with.
Well, of course, because they don't have to deal with this until wintertime, and then nobody's really going to pay much attention to it. They're already used to high heat bills through the winter.
As they're framing it, as it comes off of the hooligans running through downtown and the waterfront park and stuff, the way they're framing it, I sort of view this as the some people can't raise their kids worth a damn, so we're going to tax you types.
Well, that may be part of it, but it really is interesting. Republican Caucus Chair Kevin Cramer pointed out the obvious, because Republicans have said public safety has been an issue for some time, and it has. Republicans have tried to address more officers and things like that in the past. As a matter of fact, this has been, myself and Kelly Downard, Councilman Kelly Downard, one of the things that we both agreed on back in 2006 during the mayor's race, even though we were on opposite sides. We both agreed that we needed 200 more officers, new officers, not to replace retirees, but we needed 200 new officers in 2006. And if anything, I haven't done the research in the last couple of years, but if anything, that number has exponentially grown to even more than that. However, when we look at this, though, I mean, we've got citywide revenue is up 3.5%. All right, you're talking about a situation where $4.8 million from putting $20, so-called $20 fee, on top of every household throughout the throughout Louisville, at a time when people just don't have any money, is ridiculous to me. We have the money for this stuff, but here's the real deal, and this I think says it all. You look at Jim King. Everybody knows he's not my favorite guy in the world, but he is council president. He's a Democratic council president. But he makes the statement that we're giving LG&E access to our public right-of-ways, and we believe they should pay for that. They do that in 160 cities in Kentucky, and we see no reason why they shouldn't pay for that here in Jefferson County. Well, Council President Jim King, when you talk about LG&E, it's not they, it's us. LG&E could care less what the city charges them for fees. They're going to pass it along to the consumers, which is us. So we're going to be the ones paying for it. It's the citizenry that's going to be paying for it. And Jim King knows that. He's not an idiot, folks. So, and that's the thing. That's why they put out asinine statements like that, to make it look like they're going after LG&E. But the reality is they're going after us. We're going to be the ones to pay for it.
If they made LG&E pay for the right-of-ways, then LG&E would go to the Public Service Commission and say, well, we need to raise the rates this much to make up for the cost of having to now pay for the public right-of-ways. And they'd probably get it, since, Conway would roll over for them like a puppy.
Well, and here's the other part of that. LG&E has paid the city of Louisville $600,000 a year for many, many years. The LG&E pays them $600,000. And I guess that's for using the public right-of-ways and all of that stuff. But, so under this new budget that Fish is putting out there, by putting this 3% franchise fee on LG&E, they're going to eliminate the $600,000 payment they get, because they plan on generating $4.8 million in new tax revenue that obviously we're going to pay for. So they can call it anything they want to, but this is nothing more than a bait and switch and a BS game with the way they're approaching it. And I find that really, really insulting. And we're going to be getting together. We're going to get a lot of people involved in this, but we're going to fight this tooth and nail, because this is just one more example of failed leadership. If we've got the JCPS that's overbloated with 369 $100,000 a year employees versus 53 with everybody else, could you imagine what would happen if I walked into City Hall tomorrow and I did my own audit? They won't let me do that. If I did my own audit, I promise you, we could knock 20% of this daggone government waste right out the window. Right out the window. And that's the problem. So they're just trying to make sure they cushion themselves.
And it's typical government, and people, the sad thing is most people will hear it. They'll believe the $20 number. It might be right. It might not. But they're going to believe a $20 number. If they put it through, they'll make sure to get it enacted in July or August or something like that, when the only thing you're running is your hot water heater. And so the first few months, nobody will even notice. So they will have succeeded in turning the temperature up to the level of boiling the frog, and the frog's not going to jump out, because when it goes through, nobody will notice, because that'll be the low end of your bill. And you might start to notice when it gets into January and February, but by then it's going to be too late. It'll already be up and running, and they'll be taking your money.
Well, that's exactly it. And I tell you, here's why GLI a minute ago that I mentioned was important, and then we'll get into closing comments. But, I mentioned GLI a minute ago paid $950,000, or was paid $950,000 a year by Metro Louisville to represent Louisville as some sort of chamber of commerce, a job they do and did very, very poorly. But when you look at that, and I just pointed out the obvious, that Greg Fisher has already said he wants to hire these people on the city of Louisville's payroll. Now, let's think about that. I just said that cost was going to be somewhere between $4 and $5 million, because we're adding people to the city payroll. So now you've got retirements, pension plans, all the other stuff that goes with it. Isn't it amazing that this 3% tax that he's wanting to put on us, forget the word fee, folks, fee is nothing more than a game and a runaround to refuse to call something tax. But isn't it amazing that this is going to cost us $4 to $5 million versus $950,000, and miraculously, the LG&E tax is going to cost $4.8 million. Coincidence? I don't think so. Make of it what you will. Ed, final thoughts.
I don't know. Final thoughts. I've been using the frog analogy a lot tonight. Final thoughts, I would just tell people, you know, I usually say stay cynical, but tonight I'm going to say don't be the frog. You know, because let's face it, if you saw a frog and it could turn the temperature up on him, you'd look at it and you'd, you dumbass frog, you know, and you'd look at it and say, oh, that's sad. That pathetic little creature doesn't realize he's about to be boiled alive. Well, that's how government looks at you. I mean, like I say, whether it's the rain tax or whether, you know, from MSD or whether it's the 6% increase over the existing baseline rate for JCPS, you know, it's just a, you know, it's a few dollars here, a few dollars there, or whether it's a 3% tax they put on your natural gas, which you don't mind and you won't notice in August, but you'll notice it in December, you know, January, February. It's, I would tell people, you know, get cynical. If you can, if you can find it, and get a little angry about it. You know, look at the balance sheet. Like you mentioned, their revenues are up, and now they're about to take on GOI. So, yeah, those guys are probably going to be plugged into a pension, too, that they, the taxpayers weren't responsible for before. But, you know, they just keep, they keep raising it. That's what I've always said. It's just, you ask why they do it sometimes. It's like, well, because, you know, 3% a year on a small portion of your, of your annual monthly budget, you don't notice. But, you know, it's 3% times 20 times 12 months and, based, you know, times 600, 700,000 people, it starts adding up. So I would tell people, you know, get defiant. Don't be the frog.
Well, you know, I'm really totally with you on that. You know, it's like that joke coming up, folks. Be ready for it. But, you know, when you talk about boiling the frog and stuff like that, one of the reasons I don't eat frog legs, man, every time I think about frog legs and eating a plate of frog legs, I have this visual image inside of me that has these little frogs with these little bitty crutches out in the middle of the woods at a lily pad, you know, screaming for medic, 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 you know. So, you know, and look at that. And that's exactly what this government is doing. They're ripping your legs right out from underneath you. I mean, for me, when I continue to see stuff at the MSD that we have been fighting for years, when I continue seeing the Louisville Water Company, which is an illegal tax in my opinion, and then you throw LG&E on top of this, it's nothing but an orchestrated effort to cut us off from the knees down, cut your legs out from under you. That's it. That's the bottom line. They cut your legs out from under you, take every dime you make, and they're good buddies and they're good friends of the administration and the party and all the other things, and I don't care which party you're in. You know, they all get rewarded for doing absolutely nothing, and GLI is a great example of that. These guys were unsuccessful, couldn't do their job after all of these years with GLI because they allowed it to become a political slush fund that they would take care of their buddies, and so was the Downtown Development Corp people. That's the same damn thing. You know, when we look at all of this stuff in play, it's nothing more than an orchestrated game of chess, and we're nothing but pawns. We have no power. We have no authority. This is war. This is war for me. This is war for our way of life as American citizens and our way of life, you know, financially against the government polluted, corrupt officials. And I'm sorry, people don't like that terminology. They're going to think I'm some kind of a chaos guy or something. I'm not. But for me, that's the way I'm starting to look at it. This is a war between us and them. The problem is there's over 300 million of us in this country. There's only 535 of them. Okay, and we're letting them control all of this? That is beyond belief to me. That is beyond belief to me. We founded this country. We founded this country because of a 3% tax that the British wanted to put on their tea. A 3% tax the British wanted to put on their tea created such an uproar that we broke away from Great Britain, and we came over here and started this great thing we call the United States of America. Today, almost 70% of your income is taxed in one way or another. 70% versus 3%. That's how much of a robot and an automaton we have become to the rich, powerful elite. And that should disturb the hell out of all of you. That's it for tonight. Quick show note. This will be the last Thursday night with Dale the Truth on the TNT Thursday Night Truth Show. Next week, there's a programming change, and Ed, I'll get with you individually on this later this week, but Dale will actually be taking over next Tuesday night. It will now be the Tuesday Night Truth Show. It's still TNT, the Tuesday Night Truth Show with Dale the Truth, and I'll be taking over again on Thursday nights. We're just kind of swapping days around. Dale has a new work schedule, and we want to accommodate because we know how much you guys want to keep him on the air, and we will make that accommodation. So I changed my schedule to accommodate. So Thursday night, Dale will be here with TNT Thursday Night Truth. He'll also be here tomorrow night with me as usual. But next week on Thursday night, I'll be taking over Thursday night show, and TNT will be moved to Tuesday. That's it for tonight. Ed, short week for you, my friend. Have a great week. And I guess Ed's gone. Okay. Well, that's it, folks. Have a great night. We will talk to you very soon tomorrow night at 7 o'clock right here. Take care. God bless.